This is DH Radio on CJMQ 88.9 FM. My name is Sheila Q. On the phone with me right now, lead singer of Toronto band Tom Boyfriend, Ryan Kamstra. Welcome back to DH Radio, Ryan.
Hi, Sheila. Thank you so much.
Now, just prior to beginning to record our interview, I was saying that with your latest release, King of the Animals, the new album by Tom Boyfriend, that as a fan, I'm a huge fan of your album, Don't Go to School, and I have seen this, there's a new step that has been, was very interesting to watch as a fan, and that's, whilst you're still maintaining I think what Tom Boyfriend was for me with Don't Go to School, that was a smart group of popsters, a lot of people involved on stage and in production, and an artsy, cultural, political, gritty, fun angle. Mm-hmm. But there's a little more polish.
Yo, that's good.
There's a little.
One can only hope that happens in continuing to do this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of the DIY aesthetic, not only just because one often does it because one doesn't have the money to do otherwise. There is a grittiness to Don't Go to School that I'm quite fond of. But, of course, a lot of that comes from the fact that, I mean, when you're doing a project, and as big as the band is, that album also incorporated other musicians and artists around the community. So when you're dealing with a group of 13-odd people, sometimes recording under not enviable circumstances, you know, there's certain things that you have to live with just because of time constraints, money constraints. Obviously, if we had all of the money in the world, an album sounds a certain way, and an album that one hears on the top 40 radio, I mean, often you've got hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars being sunk just into production costs. So there's a difference in sound there. Now, definitely, this was still done on somewhat modest means, but we managed to get into a better studio this time. Certainly, the songs had been on the road for a while, tested before we actually went into it. And certainly there's just a certain chemistry that happens when people have been playing with one another for a lot longer, which is definitely true with this album.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's some of the things there.
I think so. And I also get this feeling too. Now, do you have the same ensemble group as would have worked together on your last album, Don't Go to School?
Actually, no. It's funny because a lot of the transition came just before the album launched and as we were doing our modest tour of the album. So mm-hmm. These people have been, in fact, playing ever since well before Don't Go to School came out. But we do have a change-up in guitarists. There was one guitarist, John Goodrich, on the first album. And he's actually, there's now two guitarists in his place, so we now have a lead guitarist and a rhythm guitarist rather than just one guitarist doing anything. So that's Tara Lee and Jonathan Culp, sorry. A lot of people sometimes. our bassist for 5 or 6 years, Susan Bustos, took a bit of a breather, so Pam Sloan has been our bassist for a while, so those are all changes in staff. I mean, the band itself has been always sort of organized in a sort of, there's parts of it that resembles almost a community choir as much as it does a band, in the fact that mm-hmm. There are a lot of comings and goings because a lot of people in this band, they are other artists in other capacities. They are sometimes going to school while doing this and so on. None of us live the on the road 24/7 existence as musicians, but we do this quite seriously. So that sort of accounts for sometimes why there are maybe more changeovers in this band than the usual sort of band. And also, it's a big group, so...
How important is it to you as a band to be so numerous? on stage. That's one thing I think it makes a distinct difference in your sound.
For sure.
And it's something that I love because it winds up being like there's at times there are so many different voices and there are so many different sounds. It's this collective musical experience.
Yeah.
But what for you guys when you're creating the music, how important is it to you to be that group?
Well, it would almost be interesting to hear the other members' take on this because I'm sure everyone has a different take.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe you're talking to Teresa, who's one of our backup singers.
Yes.
Ensemble later on, the Glory Hogs. I mean, one of the things that's genius about this for me is that, my interest in this project continues to be as the songwriter. And, you know, one knows a lot of songwriters who, from album to album, they make their country album, then they make their rockabilly album, and then they make their folk album. And that ability to work with different people and different musicians and in different genres is really, really quite freeing when one of your main interests is to see, you know, what you can do in different genres, basically. So having this many people involved and coming from very different backgrounds and their own taste in music and their own strengths and interests genre-wise being quite wide at this point makes it very exciting for me, anyways, to be able to, like, even just on King of the Animals, like, you know, there's some sort of punk rockin' songs and there's really quite a quiet piano song. And there's one that, you know, sort of flirts with a soul number. But being able to draw on, because not necessarily in every recording and in every performance is the whole band there. It's sort of this ability to, like, use the poly vocals for some songs and
mm-hmm.
take it out.
Yeah.
It also works really well as a live show in the sense that it becomes just with in and of itself with the band, it becomes a very multifaceted performance. So it's not, it is kind of like watching two or three bands at once.
Sure.
There's voices there that are consistent. So there's that thread that holds it all together. And also a sense for me that, like, each of these little albums that we're putting out, while it's not an overt scripted story, that there is a little story internal to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I want to know about Alexander McQueen.
The man or the song?
Well, I'm pretty sure that that the song is directly relating to the fellow.
Yeah.
Given the lyrics and the title.
Yeah.
So how did you come to because that was the first single that was was teased out there to us on the listening scene.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's such a complicated decision what to release as a single too.
Yeah.
And it's such a brave new world out there too because it's not, you know, you just throw it into the open sea of the internet and whether people even notice it is a question at this point. So, you know, we flipped around between the songs, but that came out as a really strong recording. I have my Facebook sometimes has become this sort of ongoing eulogy for the famous. I think we all notice that
mm-hmm.
whenever, and any of us born from pretty much 1960 on have been so inundated by pop culture that it's hard not for a day to go by without even some character cast in a minor role in some film we loved passing on at this point.
Right, yeah.
And a part of me has gotten a little desensitized to all of that. Alexander McQueen's death, though, really, really hit me. Part of me, I don't want this to sound opportunist, but part of me laments the fact that I wasn't able to produce something right away.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works. And I also, I did also feel that, like, you know, in the old days, poets used to write these eulogies to public figures and they would try to assess their importance and so on, and part of me is nostalgic for those days. I don't think the culture sort of works like that anymore. And plus, it's a very complicated story because it's hard because the man committed suicide, and it's not something that we ever really want to talk about. It's really, I mean, I've been affected in this, my life personally by this. I think most of us have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those subjects that, you know, it's very wrapped up in our anger towards the person, our own dark feelings, and it becomes more of a complicated thing to eulogize than, say, had the person just passed off happy, contented at 90 and rich beyond their wildest dreams.
Or not at their own
hands,
like, absolutely, to a certain extent. Yeah.
I think one of the things that really hit me about this, though, is, like, unlike a lot of, and, you know, in the flash world of high glamour and very rich and very prominent cultural figures, these sort of things are happening all the time. But one of the things that really hit me deeply about this is, for some reason, Alexander McQueen always felt like my people. And I think a lot of us who maybe aren't necessarily so attached to the world of high fashion felt that way too, because there was some performative, polemic, monkey business side of the man. He was a genius at what he did. Man, I hate using that word flippantly, but in his actual craft, which is something I value quite highly, and it is not necessarily always a part of the world of fashion craft in and of itself, it's unquestionable what a fantastic artist he was. If his career was limited to him hand sewing and hand designing things, just as an installation artist, he's worlds beyond what most of us could accomplish. And it always seemed like just such a less cynical side to the fashion business, which can seem inordinately cynical sometimes, in the sense that, you know, they get these half-starved young women up there parading whatever garment. Not much thought is put into it, and not much thought is put into what they're sort of doing to these people's lives in terms of, like, turning out depressive drug addicts and so on. When it was announced how he died, just this whole parable formed itself in my head. Now, one takes creative liberties when they do that, and I took creative liberties with the song. I don't necessarily know that. I mean, it could simply be the case that this is a neurochemical thing that happens to people, and it has nothing to do with the fashion industry per se or his feelings towards it. But there was an article that I read, and then followed up on with several articles, a lot from his former husband, which was just to suggest that the man felt very alienated in this world, and that he was never really able to recognize his own accomplishment within that.
Mm-hmm.
And that really struck me as the tragedy, that this is someone who has really ascended to the, you know, the unthinkable levels of capitalism, the highest, you know. He was making a lot of money at what he did. Stars paraded his costumes. He accelerated quite quickly in his career right out of grad school.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something about him always, even in interviews well before this time, like, one could tell that he thought, I mean, he would allude to this industry being a joke. And there was something really sad about that to me. Like, I think I'm on his side. Like, I understand that he understood it to be a superficial world, and in a way he was kind of taking the piss out of it. But there is something really sad that sometimes there's this divide in our culture where it's almost like we almost disrespect sometimes what we do within it because we view the culture as cheap.
Or we feel guilty.
Yeah, and I wonder how much that played into that. And I think it's sort of an irresolvable problem. I don't think it has to lead us to such drastic measures, but it really seems to hit on something in our culture. And also, too, that, like, Alexander McQueen became the sort of, like, king of alternative fashion in a way. Like, everything about what he was doing was mainstream and big and in that big glamorous world, but at the same time he had
and
that
themed
sort of,
you know, like, exactly. That was one of the things. See, this is part of, just listeners, just so you're reminded, this is Ryan Kamstra, lead singer of Tom Boyfriend, Toronto band. They've just put out their album King of the Animals, and one of the singles is called Alexander McQueen, which is why I have taken Ryan on this amazing tangent, because I adored and still do Alexander McQueen. So when I saw the single released, I love them even more right now. Right. You know, I just loved the band that much more, and I was so excited to hear what the single was because of, to me, what Alexander McQueen had stood for and continues to stand for. It's that whole, that was it. There was this part of what he did that was, where there was a little like pushing of limits and pushing some of the ones that people like, that you could see the industry going, no, you know?
Yeah.
no antlers. You know,
like, I think the other thing that I really loved about him, it was pretty clear, like, I don't know any aspects about his personal life really. But it was pretty clear that he had this loyalty to his friends that extended past, the sort of cut and dry world of famous people hanging with famous people. Like, mm-hmm. I really love that he stuck his neck out for Kate Moss when Kate Moss was being skewered by the media.
Absolutely.
And I love that, like, he would have his models, like, act like marionettes, and there was all these performances to sort of bring attention to their sort of role in the industry, and I think a lot of his models were quite loyal to him because of that. Because, you know, far from being just pretty faces that were traipsing down the aisle for him, he was really making this into like an opera performance. And just one other thing that I want to say, the song, I really wanted to sneak in something about the fact that he was married and how his marriage happened, because we are at a point in our culture that gay marriages have existed for some time now, but it is something that the mainstream culture is still heaving to sort of get used to, and especially when such things happen in gay marriages, as happens in all marriages, that, like most contemporary marriages, not all of them last, and so on. And his husband, George, a lot of the material from the song comes from his sort of take on Alexander. And a lot of the lament there is sort of imagined through his eyes, because at this point, you know, they had not been together for a couple years, and he's sort of looking back at someone he loved and hearing all this grand media acclaim about him and sort of feeling that nobody really knew this man. But there's just this description of what their marriage actually was that is just so adorably sweet and genuine and sort of heartbreaking, too, how quickly it happened and how they fell in love, how really it was just like they were hanging out for a couple weeks and George didn't go home one time. And then not long after, they got married on a private ceremony on a yacht. And I found that story really quite beautiful.
That's pretty something. I must say that's an angle of it as well for me too, that makes it important and special and great that you've included him on the album too. Hey, I've got to ask you kind of a funny question about the album cover.
Right.
Whose eyes are those?
it is a drawing by Toronto artist Sholem Kristalka, who is also our keyboardist.
Yes.
And it is a hand drawing of Alexander McQueen, but they are cat eyes.
Yes, I was. I that's it, it's. I'm gonna guess Himalayan.
Yeah.
I just want to know more about the cat too. I'm gonna have to. Maybe I'll save that for another interview. That was one of the things that I really loved about it. I already have a favorite track. Now I've got to tell you, there was a lot riding on this for me as a music fan, because music, it's my blood and my like such an enormous part of my life and who I am. And I loved Don't Go to School so much. Like, I can't tell you how many times I have screamed along to the best of my ability as I drive down the highway to End of Poverty.
Right.
You know? And so I was like, oh, okay, guys, don't let me down. You can do this. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. I'm just press play. She'll just go. And then what a treat. I love the album so much. And Hot Divorcee is definitely my favorite.
Right. That's great. great.
The video too, like there you go. It's this bright, amazing, thought out, specific inspiration.
Right.
A huge collective of people who are activists and thinkers and, you know, who need to channel this stuff and put this energy together to do something this fun and big and shareable. And then that it's that thread of cheeky fun is so present. The album, like King of the Animals, just released. Tom Boyfriend, you guys need it. Thank you, Ryan Kamstra.
No problem. Thank you so much.
It's wonderful. It's a great album, and we're just going to play the living heck out of it.
Fantastic.
If people want to get their hands on the album, where should we be sending them to?
Right now, if we can just alert them to tomboyfriend.com, there you will. It's going to be available basically on a site called CD Baby after we launch. You can get full instructions by going to tomboyfriend.com. Seek us out on any social media, basically, and you'll be instructed that way. I should say that this is actually, in and of itself, a teaser. A five-song album is quite a small album.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a full album that we are, one can never promise these things, but we're slating for release for the fall, that will make use of these songs and be a full-length album and probably be more available in stores.
Well, this is something that's just leading. I love this feeling. This, you know, another thing that really clued it, that made me go, oh, was the band picture.
Isn't that funny?
There's an amazing, you guys have to go to Facebook or go wherever you go and look for the new beautiful Tom Boyfriend band photo. I swear to God, I teared up. It's that I was like, look at them rising, you know. It's beautiful and it's bold and it's so great to see you can feel the character of every single one of you just sitting there. It's fantastic.
And
so,
in that, I should probably mention the local photographer Michael Barker, who donated his time to taking that picture.
Indeed you should. Michael Barker. Thank you so much, Ryan Kamstra, and stay in touch, and we just want more and more and more, and so it's really good to know that if this is like something to chew on until more comes.
Thank you so much, Sheila, and hopefully we'll see you in Richmond and Montreal soon.
Oh yes, please. Take care, Ryan. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Bye.